And that was it.
Three, two, one, we're live.
Whoa. All right. The Mr. National Podcast is underway. P-Double snuck a quick start on me. That was like a silent count. Usually counts me down, folks. Usually it'll count me down. I know I warmed up.
Quick snap. Like, quick
it was
snap.
A quick snap. Man, who was offside? Hey, John Elway was good for that, man. Peyton Manning, too.
Yeah.
So you see that flag, and he just say, go deep. We got a freebie.
Yep. One of my favorite plays of all time, which I don't know why nobody tries this more often, was the Brett Favre when he went to spike the ball, or it was a spike play.
Uh-huh.
Stopped the clock, and the guy went out, and he threw a touchdown pass to him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember Marino did it first. I think Marino was one of the first guys. Yeah, I think
Favre did it, didn't he?
I don't know. I remember Marino doing it. Marino, okay. That was the kind of guy I remember. The fake snap. He pulled everybody up, and then he threw a touchdown pass. Favre might have did it. I think, what's his name? Detroit quarterback did it, too. Stafford. But I think he jumped over the top.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was a spike play.
It was a spike play.
And he jumped over the top, yeah.
He jumped over the top and got the touchdown.
Yeah.
I got to look and see if Favre did it. But talking about football, P-Double.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah, let's get right into it. My rant, you know what I mean? Pissed about my 49ers, okay? I fly all the way across the country to Arizona. Which, you know, by the way, the weather was beautiful. Got away from rain and 50-degree weather here in Philly. And we got the Cardinals. I mean, they had one win. We had one win. Their only win was the game they beat the 49ers in San Francisco. I would have bet a pretty fair amount of money that we had that game. Mm-hmm. And we lost. We dropped it. I mean, I was heated. Heated. Fly all week. I mean, we had a good time, though.
And then Thursday night, when you're not there.
Yeah, right. Now, here's the thing. One of my buddies from the Empire, you know, he's a season ticket holder. He had gave me this, because this game wasn't even on my radar.
Mm-hmm.
He texts me about, you know, bro, you know, everybody called in Cali, you know, it's bro, you know.
Right.
Bro, you should come out to the Arizona game. I'm going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the regulars going to be out there. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll check it out. So but even before I could look into pricing, the you know, everything, he was like, now check it out, bro. You could catch two games because you fly out to Arizona, just get a one-way ticket to Arizona.
Okay.
And then get the ticket coming back from San Francisco. Because he wanted me to fly to Arizona, hook up with him, see the Cardinals game. Then drive back to California with
San
him.
San Francisco?
Back to San Francisco. Okay?
Right, right.
Then catch the Raiders game, which was a Thursday night.
Right.
Like, you could catch two games in 1 week.
Yeah, take the whole week off.
I'm like...
Did you hit that Mega Millions?
I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know if you got the memo, pal, but I didn't hit Powerball or Mega Millions. What are you talking about? So I was like, all right, let me think. You know, he found hotels. He found the hotel in San Francisco. No, it wasn't in San Francisco. It was a town somewhere where he could have picked me up. You know, he was
right.
Like, I grabbed you. And it was only like $50-something a night, you know,
right.
for the day. I'm looking at all this stuff, and then the thing that just vetoed the whole deal was looking for prices for tickets for that Raiders game.
Right.
Now, that was the last game of the Battle of the Bay.
Oh,
so all tickets on all the websites, they were like $200, $180 and up, okay? And he knows Levi Stadium like the back of his hand. So
right.
He was looking, I'm looking, I was like, I found the ticket for $175. He was like, what section? I was like, blah, blah, blah. He was like, bro, that's nosebleeds.
Yeah.
I was like, well, there you go.
$175 for the nosebleeds.
For
wow.
The nosebleeds. I was
wow.
like, he was, I was like, listen, bro, I cannot do it.
But that's a good friend, though, right there.
Oh, yeah, he was going to drive me, you know, back from Arizona. And
yeah, that's cool. I got a friend like that who looks up stuff, plans it all out, and says, bam, we're going to the Cubs game, you know?
Right.
And he just calls me up, we're going to the Cubs game. And he buys it, you know, he'll buy the tickets, you know, sometimes or whatever, because, you know.
That's a bro, okay?
That's a bro.
I was still paying for everything. So I said, listen, I said, I'll fly out to Arizona. And the flight wasn't bad. The game ticket wasn't bad. I actually stayed, you know, found a couple buddies from Maryland that I knew.
Right.
And we shared a hotel.
Nice.
So it wasn't real expensive. It was great. It was
right.
A great
sometimes you can get shows like Southwest flights or whatever. They get pretty good deals on them, right?
Yes. And I like flying Southwest, I mean, because of the bags, you know.
Yeah.
Especially for the EF events. It was kind of crazy for this trip. I brought that big bag, but I didn't even really get a chance to wear nothing. I mean, that was... When they picked me up from the airport, we went to one tailgate thing at a sports bar, a McFadden's, I think it was. Jerry Rice and Joe Montana came, was signing autographs and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you had to pay $150 per autograph. I was like, wow. I know.
I found out some interesting news about my Cowboys. When I lived in Texas, Roger Staubach was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and he's my favorite player.
Wow.
Emmitt Smith I like Emmitt Smith too. He's my, you know,
right.
Those one and two right there, two and one, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, this past week I spent some time with my sisters who are older than me. Everybody in my family is older than me. And my sisters tell me, she doesn't know anything about football, but Roger Staubach, when I was a little baby, Roger Staubach came to my church and spoke.
Wow.
At my church. And I was like, why didn't anybody tell me this?
Well, P-Double, you was a baby. You were... That's still a feather in your cap, though.
Right,
you
know? Right. I actually met
you
Roger Staubach.
You were in church that Roger Staubach was
there. I mean, he probably kissed me on the forehead or something, you know?
Right. No, that's news you want your family to share with you.
Right, right. So, but I know I saw my sisters up in Minnesota. Big highlight of the trip was I got to meet Brandon Sigers.
Oh, yeah, the EF coach.
Yeah, and he got the new DSF football from Steve Toth. And we played a half of DSF and we played a half of Toe Pro.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, did he know Toe Pro? I mean,
he's a Toe Pro aficionado. He's he's one of the disciples to Toe Pro.
Oh, he's okay.
He makes Toe Pro videos. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we had a good scrimmage. Toe Pro, all Toe Pro. Problem with Brandon is he can literally hit 60-yard passes. No problem. Dead eye. Bam.
With the triple threat quarterback.
Yeah. Yep.
No tilting.
Just one-handed. Just puts it down. Toink. He's a freak.
Oh, my goodness. He's like a Raider man. That Raider man is a one-hand passer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Raider man could throw one. Mike Turner is another one. Mike Turner throws with his thumb. I don't know how
I've seen guys do that.
Yeah. He holds the back of it with his first finger, with his pointer finger, and then he thumbs the little the thing.
Yeah, just like that, huh?
Just like that. Now, Raider Man uses his middle finger and his thumb to hold the support, and then he flicks the ball with his pointer finger.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, one-hand passers. You ain't got to worry about touching nobody's men or nothing like that.
Right, right. In fact, Brandon was videoing the game with his left hand and his phone and passing with his right.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, I hit a couple passes, but I also threw a couple, you know, pretty wide.
Some bricks.
Yeah. So, but it was good. It was really good. We had a good time. I wish I could have, you know, spent more time and played. And we played dynamic strategy football a little bit.
Right, and that's Steve Toff's the new system. And he actually reached out to me. They're starting his league. I think he asked me if I wanted to be in it. I think I might do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might jump
stick in. Passing. It's
so I mean, I'm not a big fan of it, but if that's what it is, you know, I'll jump in. That's part of being national, you know what I mean?
Right. You're not just, the hobby's not for you. You're for the hobby, you know?
Wow. I'm going to make you my PR man. Telling you the producer of the Mr. National Podcast, P-Double.
Oh, I also wanted to tell you thanks for posting that picture of the Gridiron Buzz.
Dude, that was great artwork.
Thanks. Really, and thanks for just being Mr. National, dude. Seriously. You're really great for the hobby, man, and you're a fun-loving guy, and it's good to know you. So,
well,
I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I mean, if I had another couple dozen people like you, I'd be happy. half the time, everybody, you know, is hating. You know what I mean? No, I ain't gonna say that. They not hating. That's good. It's all love. You know what I mean? I got my bowling league folks. I got my EF folks. So it's all love. It's all love.
Yeah, but I always say that you haven't hit that Mega Millions yet, but you're a rich dude. You know?
Yeah.
Because that's what life is about.
I had a great time in Arizona with all these 49er fans. Like I say, guys that I met throughout the years from going to games together. You know,
that's pretty together. Cool.
Yeah, great time, man.
So what happened then Thursday night to the 49ers? All of a sudden, they put in the backup quarterback.
Yeah, Mullins, man. He's like he's from the same college as Brett Favre. He's got the same number.
Really?
I was like, oh my gosh. We got the next Brett Favre, you know what I mean?
And I'm going to call you out on something. You actually picked the Raiders that game.
No, I didn't. I picked the Niners.
You did?
Yeah, I said the Niners.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going back on it. You never back on it.
I said, give me the Niners. Then I found out we were starting Mullins. I was like, oh, my God, hold up. Let me look. And then I did some research on them. And then I said, all right, I'm keeping the Niners.
Okay. All right.
I sent it early, Niners.
Right.
Then I found out we were starting a guy I never played before. But I had to go do my research. Smokestack would say my analytics.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to check the numbers, crunch some stats, and I was like, we got it. I wish I could have called in a bookie, man. That guy was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean... Ugh. Take it. It was the Raiders, all right. The Raiders are horrible, and I mean, some people don't like John Gruden. I mean, he's not never coached my team, but I don't dislike the guy. I actually felt sorry for the guy. I mean, his team, it looked like they don't even practice. I mean, guys were blowing defensive assignments. They had to bench an offensive lineman. It was horrible. I mean, it was. They took one guy out that started. They took him out in the first quarter, and then brought him back in later.
Wow,
he was playing that bad. So that is a bad situation they in. I mean,
do you think it's different? Do you think that situation is different than when Jimmy Johnson came into Dallas with Troy Aikman as their starting quarterback and went 1-15?
Let's see. Jimmy was coming from being very successful at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he could have stayed there and did well, but he wanted to jump in. I mean, it's different. Jimmy wanted to be a pro coach.
Right, you think this is just a disaster?
Gruden. So far for Gruden, because he was doing so well doing the commentating. I think he was on Monday Night Football or whatever with Mike Tirico.
And a lot of people don't think he's legit, like he's the real deal. Like, when he was in Tampa Bay, it was right after Tony Dungy.
Yes. Well, he had the Raiders. He had the Raiders first. He had them balling, okay? It wasn't for that Tuck rule, which was BS. They would have beat the Patriots and been in the Super Bowl before he even left.
Right.
Okay? So he had good coaching, and he had a good team with the Raiders. So he leaves the Raiders and gets to the Bucks. Now, Tony Dungy had built a defensive juggernaut in Tampa, but he couldn't master the offensive side. So John Gruden kind of came into a team that was pretty much set. I mean, he got the offense playing. I mean, the team was set. I mean, he didn't have to build up the team like another coach would have to. He basically came into a playoff caliber team and then just came over to home. Sort of like Steve Kerr with Golden State Warriors.
Right.
Mark Jackson had that team good.
Yeah,
real balling. But the team was there. Curry was there. Klay Thompson was there. Mm-hmm. I think Draymond might have been there. They had a good team. And Steve Kerr just fell into that. So, Jimmy was tough, but Jimmy wanted to get in. That was his buddy Jerry Jones.
Right.
And once they traded away Herschel Walker, dude, it was just, I mean, he had all the picks.
Right.
You had to pick the right players, but when you have that many stockpile of picks for one player that they got for Herschel Walker, I mean, it was almost like shooting fish in a barrel.
They were able to build a team.
Yeah, it was accelerated. I mean, would he have gotten to that point? Maybe. But when you get like 11 total players for one player, as far as draft picks and players.
Where did Herschel go? Did he go to Minnesota after that?
Yeah, he went to Minnesota. Now, Minnesota was a loaded team back then. They had Wade Wells. They had a really good team. Great defense. They had Chris Dolman. They had Keith Millard, I think the defensive tackle was. They had a great team.
Yeah, that's right.
Joey Browner. They had Anthony Carter. They had a good team. They were missing a running back. And they figured getting a running back would be all they
needed.
And
he did well there, Herschel Walker.
He did. I mean, I remember his first play. Like, one of his first plays with them, he ran back a kickoff for a touchdown or punt. I mean, but
he was a bad dude.
He was pretty good. I think he wasted a lot of his years in the USFL. I mean, he ran for 2,000 yards in the – but it was in the USFL. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't the NFL.
Right.
And he might have got, you know, he wasted 2-3 years over there. Gruden, I just feel bad because he already had NFL success. You won a Super Bowl title. Now you are like the guy with quarterback camp and all this stuff you were doing and with commentating. And then for him to just jump back into the coaching ranks. And back to the Raiders, I mean, they stink.
They're horrible. They are horrible.
I mean, the 49ers, I mean, take it. We lost our starting quarterback, Jimmy G. Lost the running back, McKinnon, that we signed from the Vikings. So, I mean, you got reasons.
But they got upside. They got some upside to them. And
I mean, well, this quarterback, I guess they're going to start him the next game, and we're going to see what this guy can do. I mean, it's almost like the Raiders are basically like a good high school team, you know? They are bad.
Yeah. Now there's a few teams, and Smokestack talked about this last week, selling off, basically just writing off the season.
Yeah, tanking.
And one of them is, well, the Lions traded Golden Tate to Philadelphia. That puts Philadelphia in a good spot, you know?
Yeah. But their biggest issue wasn't that wide receiver.
Right, but he's going to help them. He's going to help them.
But they can't stop nobody. Their D-backs their D-backs are not up to par. I mean, if they could have signed a cornerback, that would have been a lot, you know, a lot more helpful.
But I think the Rams are the odds-on favorite right now. But they haven't really been tested too much. They were tested a little bit last week.
Right, with Green Bay. And then that guy... Montgomery fumbled, you know. They cut him. They traded him.
Man, this is brutal.
That was a selfish play, they said. And, you know, you lose your job for that. You're done. Thanks for your service, but we don't need you anymore.
But the Rams.
Go ahead.
The Rams, the Saints, the Eagles, and the Vikings might be. I think the Vikings look tough. And they might be. Give the Rams a little bit of run for their money.
I don't trust Cousins. I don't trust them.
He's balling, man. They lost to New Orleans, but...
Right, they did. And that was in their home building.
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow, you got the Rams and the Saints. That could be
that's the national
NFC championship championship preview. The Eagles, they're not even winning their division. The Redskins are.
Yeah, okay?
It's
I don't see that lasting.
Well, we gotta see. We gotta see.
Yeah, I'm calling it right now, man. I don't like the Eagles. I don't like the Redskins either.
Well, that was it. So the Eagles are going to overtake the Redskins, you say?
Yeah, I think so. I just don't think,
The Rams, listen, the Rams are all in for right now. They picked up that linebacker, that pass rushing linebacker from the Jags, Fowler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Damn.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they are all in.
There's another team, Jags, writing off the season.
They're done. Hey, they can't win nothing with that Bortles. That guy needs to go.
Well, the thing is, I just think these teams, like the Lions traded away Golden Tate for like a third round and a fifth round pick or something.
I think they got a third round, fourth round, I think third or fourth. And then the Broncos traded Demaryius Thomas for a fifth round, wherever he went.
I just don't think these college players coming out are that. It's such a crapshoot with these players.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can get a bona fide veteran, like, I mean, the Cowboys spent
first
pick on Amari, but I like Amari. Amari was like a top 10 pick when he came to the draft.
Right. He fills a need right there for them.
Absolutely.
So they're not writing off their season.
No, the Cowboys is in the thick. The NFC East is up.
Is anybody's game? Is anybody's division? I mean, I think the Eagles are the team to beat, but
hold up, P double, except for the Giants,
who have written off their season as well.
We've written off their season, right?
Right.
It's a three team race. I give you that. And those three teams, the Cowboys, Eagles, and Redskins, they're in it.
Cowboys, you know, double down on Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott.
Right. And, they had to get them some help. They want them triplets.
Right.
You know, they go back to Emmitt, Irvin, and Aikman. You know what I mean? That was three Super Bowl titles. That's what they want to get. They had it with Bryant, the other running back, Murray, and Romo.
Right.
And now Romo and Murray is going. Now they got a whole new triplet. They got Dak, Elliott, and now Amari Cooper. So
and Elliott is a stud. I mean, he's
the real deal. He has been since they drafted him. I mean, he was a surefire bona fide star.
Right.
Same as Saquon Barkley with the Giants.
Right.
They have nothing else to go with that guy.
Right. He give him time. He's going to be.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's the real deal. Giants need a lot of work, though. Giants need a lot of work.
So, hey, in the Ohio Valley Electric Football League, Frank Jacobs is in first place.
Not surprising.
Right. Not surprising at all. His record is 10 wins. 3 losses and 1 tie. He's done for the season. He got all his games in.
Now those guys, you guys are playing TOC rules, correct?
Right.
Yes, right.
Right.
Now so, that's shocking because Frank is a front of base type of. They've always played FOB and. So for Frank to switch up his game, play any touch TOC.
Right.
Kudos to Big Frank.
Right, he's coming up. I mean, his game's tightening up, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he was always one there. He was always in the top finisher in their league when they played front of base. Mm-hmm. But now they're playing a new rule set, so he's able to morph his coaching style, and he's still continuing to bang out wins.
It's a good league. They got some strong players in that league.
Well, yeah. Well,
I'm in it. I'm not one of those, but Jim Davis is in it.
Well, any league that has Jim Davis is a better league for having him in it. So
right. So
you know what I mean,
so
he's that guy.
Yep. So the league consists of 14 games, and you just get your games in. You travel. You got to travel. Most of the guys have to travel.
Right.
And so you just, there's no schedule. You just get your games in. And you get, okay, you try to get 14.
Schedule.
If you don't have, and you can only play one guy twice. Like, you can't play anybody three times. You can play somebody twice.
And that's it.
Right. So, Jim's got all his games in. He's 10 wins, 4 losses.
Wow.
And so, Frank's in first place. Jim is tied with Brian Fox in second place. Brian Fox has 10 wins, 4 losses.
Okay.
So, it's a bit of a controversy. Who's in second place? Is it Jim or Brian?
Well, have they played each other?
They played each other, and Brian won a game. Brian won it. So I had Brian in second place.
Yeah, well, he's in second. He holds the tiebreaker.
Right, head-to-head, right?
Yeah, head-to-head.
But Jim's got more points.
Don't matter.
Right, points don't matter, right? I've never heard of a league going by points over head-to-head.
No, head-to-head is the tiebreaker of all tiebreakers, okay? The only time that it would be an issue if they played twice and then they both won, you know, they split the game.
Right.
They played one time and Fox beat Jim. That's it.
Right.
It's over.
Right.
He is in second.
Now, if it comes down to it, it's very likely that we have another 10-4 team that will be tied with Jim. That'll be Jeff Priest. It could it could play out that way. Jeff's got to get his games in. So Jeff and Jim will not have played each other, though.
Right.
And it's all one division. It's all one league. You know, there's no divisions or conferences in the league.
Right. It's just a Okay.
So if they haven't played each other, then what do you go by?
They would go common opponent.
Right on. That's what I said, too. Right. Yeah, okay, so I'm not out to lunch. I mean, that's every league I ever looked at, tiebreaker's common opponent. Mr. National settled it tonight right here on the Mr. National podcast. Thank you very much.
Listen, you want to run the NFL, you was right on point, you know what I mean? We go by the NFL, you know what I mean?
That's what I did. I looked up the NFL tiebreaker rules, and it was like, this is what it would be. This is what I would do, you know.
So. Been there, done that. I mean, another tiebreaker is strength of victory. That's another part of the tiebreaker.
Yep, down there, right?
Yeah, that's down there, where you add up all the victories, the records of the people that you both played.
That you beat.
That you beat, yes. Right.
And who has the most wins.
Right. And who has the most wins, yeah.
That one's a bit of a pitfall because there's a possibility that not everybody has their games in. Because you can get as few as 10, you can get as few as 10 games and still be done with the complete season.
Okay, right.
But you know, it all evens out in the end. So, we'll see how it plays out. But it's a great league. It's a great league.
There you go. I mean, anytime you're playing a game of EF with other people that like the game of EF, it's a good league.
Right.
And you finish what you start, okay?
Right. Yep, if you're in the league, get your games in.
And that's the strength and that's the beauty of the Hulk, Jim Davis. You know, you get a lot of quote-unquote big-name coaches that say they want to play in your league or, you know, it's out of the state, they'll travel, but they never show up. When Jim says he's playing, you can take it to the bank that he will show up and he will play his games.
Yeah, so, He brings it to be around him when he plays. It's fun. You know what I mean? He's got a great spirit. I mean, he's the best trash talker. The best trash talker I've seen ever. Or one of the best, you know.
He brings some swagger with him, okay? I mean, talking about EF, please want to give a shout out to the 757. They ended their league.
See, the Cowboys won that league. I'm like, all right, bring it home, baby.
He double on them Cowboys. I mean, I reached out to Don Smith. He actually called me. I got to call him back. I don't know if Don listens to the Mr. National podcast, Don. I saw you called me, and I will get back to you. But duty calls. This is a labor of love. Me and P Double haven't cashed any checks yet, but you know what I mean?
But
we're gonna do our duty. This is probably like our 16th or 17th show, and we're just gonna keep it rolling. This Mr. Yeah. Nash podcast.
Yep. I'm telling you, just keep talking.
We have fun with it, and folks, believe us, we are working on making it better. We right. have some ideas. Me and P Double been throwing around.
You want to get to the good deed of the week story?
Oh, here we go. That's it. What do we
need? You know, we got to have for this next time. We're going to have some music for this one. The good deed of the week.
We
get. Yes, sir. The good deed of the week theme song.
That's it. And it'll be playing it'll be playing real lightly in the background. Maybe P Double could maybe, you don't know. He's
inserted it right here.
He might get
it. And here it goes. The good deed of the week.
On the Mr. National podcast. that was my kitchen voice. Ain't that football?
Hey, I want to tell you something about Kit. This is Mr. National Podcast 17. I was paying close attention. All of 16, episode 16, we didn't mention Kit or Toe Pro Football.
Whoa! That's the first. That's the first.
So, he was probably, you know, I don't know how much money Kit has, but I wanted to give him a break, you know, give him a free week. So he
Right. Because that money was piling up, all of endorsement fees.
So
without further ado, the good deed of the week.
So check this out, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with it?
That's kind of close, yeah.
It's not too far?
That's out there by Steve Tallberry.
Oh, okay. Out by, where does he live? Allentown, right?
Allentown, yeah.
The Billy Joel song.
Yeah, Allentown, Eastern PA out there. Larry Holmes, the Eastern Assassin.
Oh, so Larry Holmes.
All out that way. So what's our good deed? What happened,
P-Double? So it was actually out on Richmond Avenue in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Okay? This 13-year-old girl, for Halloween, her and her dad, but it was led by the girl. The dad mm-hmm. helped her out. She actually got together with the Wilkes-Barre Department of Public Works and got the city to paint over a graffiti and they gave them permission to make a scary, like a haunted house in this tunnel at the end of the street for all the kids in the neighborhood to go through for free.
There you go. There you go.
So that's pretty cool for a 13-year-old girl to do, you know. It was all her idea. She was the motivated. She drove the whole thing.
Amazing. That shows a lot of talent. You know what I mean? That
right.
girl might go up to you know what I mean, run her own business. You never know.
Yeah, Diana Bobbitt, it looks like her name was. So kudos for Diana Bobbitt.
Well, there you go, Diana. On the Mr. National podcast, our very first good deed of the week, and it was Halloween. Halloween was a couple days ago on Wednesday.
Right.
Okay,
right.
And Deanna, great job, Mr. National P Double. Give you a round of applause. Great.
That's
job.
What it's about, right there, man. If we can all take, we can all just follow Deanna's lead. Or Mr. National with the limousine bit. Or, you know, if you want to go have a baby for somebody, you know.
Right.
Or carry a baby for somebody.
Yeah, right. I mean, a couple of shows ago, we talked about good deeds. I mean, dressed up like the limo, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like the limo driver, right. And going having that baby was a bit much. That was, man, that was way out there. Way out. But kudos to Diana out there in Wilkes-Barre and everybody that saw her vision and helped her out. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, that's really cool.
You could have planned and nobody else jumped in and it wouldn't have got done, but she has support. That's what it's all about. Inside your circle, folks, positivity. Keep positivity inside your circle. It's too much negativity drains you.
Yeah, and you know what? People are attracted to positivity.
I believe that. I mean,
so, you know, just like negativity is contagious, and you can spread like a cancer, you know?
Yeah.
But what about positivity? Positivity can spread. People can catch it, and it goes, you know? So there's some little nice thing that you do, you don't even know how it's going to impact people. You know, so many stories about people who come, you know, years later, people come to them and say, you know, you told me this one time that was really nice, and that led to me doing this and that, and it changed my life, you know?
Totally agree. And that's why on the Mr. National podcast, me and P-Double, each show, we will find a good deed, and we're going to speak on it.
We're going to bring it to you.
We're going to bring it to you.
Our loyal listeners.
Our thousands and thousands of listeners. You know what I mean? We are on. Are we on iTunes?
We're on iTunes. So if you go on iTunes podcast and you type in Mr. National Podcast, you'll find it, and you can subscribe to the Mr. National Podcast. And every new episode that comes out, you'll get a notification.
There you go, folks.
Or you go to. Right. Yeah, or you can subscribe at the Stack with Nat show, and every time a new post comes out with our podcast, you can go to the Stack with Nat show and listen to it right there.
Right there. It's so easy. And like I said, each show we are getting better. We are getting better, and we're going to keep working on our craft, and who knows? I mean, like I say, neither one of us is in this thing to get rich. Is something that we wanted to do is actually to promote the hobby of electric football. You get to learn a little bit about P-Double, a little bit about myself, and everything else in between.
And hopefully have some fun doing it.
And have fun doing it. But I wanted to touch back on the positivity thing. I mean, you got to, even in electric football league, P-Double said a cancer. Having bad coaches in your league, negative coaches, that creates a bad environment as well. So when you start in your league, I mean, people always ask, oh my goodness, how do you guys do it? You know, 32 teams, 10 teams in the NFL, blah, blah, blah. It's all positive. It's all positivity. The right coaches. I mean, you know, it's not just getting the best coaches or the biggest names, because a lot of times they might say they'll play in your league, but they don't really, they can't make it. I mean,
right.
And you end up getting forfeits, and people start looking side-eyed at you, like, why did you even let them in? You know what I mean? So
right.
It's a combination of getting committed individuals, so, and positive individuals. So that goes with the hobby of electric football, and as well as in life. I mean, you don't want to surround yourself with negative people. You see on social media all those memes and posts about, you know, haters this and my haters that. I always say, if you so worried about proving these haters wrong, you hanging around the wrong people. You're wasting all your effort and energy trying to prove. You shouldn't have these people hating on you. Everybody that's in your corner, in your circle, should always be encouraging you in whatever you do,
yep.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah, bringing out the best in you.
Bringing out the best in you. And when you're with other great people, like I'm with P-Double, he's a great man. He's he's making me greater. I mean, I had no idea I could do a podcast or what a podcast was.
Oh, I played it for my sister this weekend, by the way.
No way.
Yeah, and I brought it up, and she's like, an hour? What do you guys talk about for an hour? And I was like, here, let me play it. And she was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then she started laughing and stuff, you know. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Well, there you go. If I can make somebody laugh or cry, or both, I did my job. I did my job. Yeah. Dude, I was hanging out with the Skull Shaver crew today. We went to a Sixer game, P-Double.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Right. And we had a good time. We were drinking. We had a cigar. We watched the game. I mean, it's funny.
It doesn't get any better than that, man.
It don't get no better than that. And our seats were pretty good. But we ended up walking, and then we go up to the Skull Shaver Lounge. These guys, they pay $20 to Wells Fargo. That's the home
right.
facility of the Sixers. And the Flyers, by the way.
Right.
Okay. So they pay $20,000 per month for advertisement at the Wells Fargo Center. And I know.
Dude, they could give advertising at Mr. National Podcast for like $20 a month.
They got on the video screens a little ad for Skull Shaver pops up. They have a couple signs.
That's
and
awesome.
And then they have a Skull Shaver Lounge. They have their logo and they have signs. And there's a spot where you could buy a general admission ticket and get in the building. And I mean, it's up to the top. It's like a lounge. It has its own bar. It has a bathroom up there, and there's seats and there's standing room, and you can actually watch the games.
Damn.
And that's part of their package. I mean, and they get the tickets, obviously, to Flyers and Sixers games. So
this time next year, we're going to be watching the Sixers in the Mr. National Podcast Lounge.
This time, right. Paul got
doing the podcast from the Mr. National Podcast Lounge at the Spectrum, or Wells Fargo, I mean.
Oh, my goodness. Or out there in, what's your guy's stadium?
AT&T Stadium?
Yeah, there you go.
In Dallas?
We can have, wow, that's Jerry's World.
Yeah.
We won't have it there. We can't, maybe we can have it
where the Pistons play?
Yeah.
And right now the Pistons don't have their own arena. They play in the Red Wings arena, which is the
Joe Louis?
No, Joe Louis. It's right downtown. I mean, it's nice. But
they used to play in the Auburn Hills or something like that.
Yeah, the Palace in Auburn Hills, and they're not playing out there anymore.
Okay.
It's crazy how these, you know, remember the Silverdome?
Yes, that's what old Billy Sims played there, right?
Yeah. That place a few years ago was sold for $583,000.
That's kind of cheap.
$583,000. There's houses around my little town out here that sell for more than that.
I know. That's what I was saying. That's cheap.
So
that's
this guy bought it. He was going to turn it into take the top rim of the old Silver Dome.
Right.
And put it field on it and turn it into a soccer field, because soccer field's bigger than a football field. So you go to that top rim around that, and then underneath the soccer field was going to be like a music hall and a basketball arena.
Wow.
That was the plan.
That's expensive.
Right. So a few years go by and nothing happened. And then so last year they went to demolish the Silver Dome. And basically that whole thing fell through. So they demolished it. But even when they went to this just tells you what it's like to be like a Lions fan. When they went to demolish the Silver Dome, they set off all the bombs.
Right.
And it didn't collapse. So they had to go in and reset them all or put new ones in. And, you know, how would you like that job,
right.
Mr. National?
Jeez.
Demolition.
I mean, that could have been a sign that the place wasn't meant to be destroyed. I mean, maybe that, I would have second guessed it. I was like, holy.
I don't know, man.
That's like getting in an electric chair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, waking up in the electric chair after the first round.
Well, you get an electric chair, you get electrocuted, but you don't die. You get set free or something like that, don't you? They don't shock you, and then you like, they shock you again. When that place didn't blow up, maybe the Silverdome was saying, I'm not ready to go. I'm here to stay. I want to be a soccer field. But that idea you just told me, I mean, being in the construction industry, that seemed very, very expensive. There's been several jobs, projects that we've been on where you go in these older buildings, and I mean, it could have been like a bank or something downtown.
Right.
And they gut it out and turn it into like a hotel or something, like four or five star. And it's almost like, wouldn't it be cheaper to just knock it down and build it over?
Really? Really?
No, I don't know. I don't know what the builders and architects, I don't know what their number or how they figure that out. I mean, in construction, right. You see it a lot. You see a structure up, and they just totally gut it, the whole inside. Right. But they keep a lot of it up and then build. And you just think, I mean, you know, us as the construction workers, you're like, well, damn, why didn't they just knock it down and start over?
Right, because all the work, it takes a lot of work to gut it.
Yes, I don't know what their number is. You know, I'm pretty sure they go through it, you know, knocking it down to the ground as opposed to, you know.
I just don't know how that structurally even would work, like a soccer field up here, you know, on top of an arena.
Up around the top, yeah. That,
an outdoor, mean, so it would be an outdoor, they would take the top off of Silverdome, an outdoor soccer arena.
Yeah, that's crazy. All your plumbing would be exposed. All your plumbing and your lighting. They would have to reinforce the whole rim of the stadium because that would be supporting the soccer ball over top. That guy, man. I don't know what he was thinking.
Yeah, he was like Howard Hughes or something.
He still owns the land, though. I mean,
I don't know. You know, everything now. Actually, downtown Detroit isn't too bad of a place. It's pretty sharp now. They renovated and reinvigorated the downtown. Now they got Ford Field down there where the Lions play. They got Comerica Park where the Tigers play.
And that's all in Center City.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it becomes quite a vibrant city. And they got a nice midtown out just outside of that. And so, it's great.
Where's the fist? The big fist statue.
Oh, yeah, that's...
That downtown?
Yeah, where is that? I don't remember. Yeah, that's downtown.
I've been in Detroit a few times, and I never saw that. I mean, the next time I come visit, one of these days, folks, we're going to do the Mr. National podcast, like, in a sports bar in Detroit.
There we go.
We're going to change up the studio. But I want to see that fist. I think that's supposed to be like Joe Louis fist or something like that.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, it's got a great history, Detroit. Well, I mean, not a lot of it's not so great, but you know, it's quite a storied town with all the, you know, between Motown.
Well, talking about fist, right? Motown is it. I mean, when you think of Detroit, that's what you probably living out there got other things, but. As far as, like, say, me and everybody else, you know, when you think of Detroit, you think of Motown, okay?
Right.
First thing comes to my head, Motown, then the car industry, which is Ford, you know, that comes to mind, and obviously the Detroit Red Wings. Mm-hmm. So when I think Detroit, that was the three things that come to my mind first, in that order, Motown. Right. The car industry, and then Detroit Red Wings, hockey.
Right.
Okay. That. So for me, and like seeing them guys on Monday Night Football and how they pan to the skyline and downtown, it's beautiful.
Right.
Down Detroit is pretty amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Miggle Toys had their convention there before.
Okay.
And Livonia.
Yeah, and that was a big problem for Detroit for a long time was Livonia is a suburb. I'm trying to think of Philadelphia, like what it might be like Bryn Mawr or some place like that.
Right.
It's like a suburb of Detroit. And even outside of that, Pontiac, where the Silverdome was even further out. It was way out. The Auburn Hill, the Palace was in Auburn Hills, which is a suburb outside of Livonia, past Livonia. And then Tiger Stadium was over downtown. Tiger Stadium was old and run down. And so for a long time, Detroit was a great example of urban sprawl. You know, a lot of the cities outside of Detroit were bigger than Detroit. in terms of population. Like Detroit was like a two population of Detroit was at its peak was 2 million inside the city, and then not maybe a decade ago it was under 1 million. It was like 750,000 or something, and Detroit was in pretty bad shape. I mean, not all of Detroit is great right now, but they moved. The stadiums down there, and then the Midtown became like a great place for art. I got a real good friend, Tyrone Dickey, that is an artist that lives, and he's got all these great artists that live down in Midtown, Detroit. And so it's going to kind of revive itself. It's quite a nice place, really. And it's great for the arts. It's great for sports. Even though they have the Lions. The Lions are...
But, oh, man, hate those old squad. Or his hometown squad. Spoken like a true cowboy. I mean, talk about Joe Louis and boxing. Any chance you're going to see the new Creed movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
Coming out for Texas. Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe what Sylvester Stallone and they kind of like just bringing the whole Rocky thing back around.
Yeah, we
know that. Now Apollo's son, I know, he's going to fight the Russian son. I was like,
oh, is he really? Geez. Is he?
Yeah. Talk about going to the well too many times, man. Unbelievable.
So yeah, he started in Philadelphia, right? The old...
I mean, it's all shot in Philly. I mean, the new Creed movies, the first one was in Philly, and I'm pretty sure the second one is going to be in Philly as well. But the fact that he's fighting Drago's son is just hilarious.
Will you go watch it? Will you watch that one?
I will be first in line Thanksgiving morning.
You cannot watch it. You know what's crazy about... No, listen, you know what's crazy about Sylvester Stallone is when Rocky came out in 1977 or something like that, do you...
It's 78, 77, something like that.
When that movie came out, it won like an Oscar.
Yo, oh, yeah.
For best movie or something.
Yes, everything. It won everything. It won everything, I think.
And this was like his passion project. And he was the director, he was the writer and director, and he acted in it. And it was a great movie. But then it turned into a comic book. You know what I mean? He had Mr. T on there, he had Hulk Hogan playing Thunderlips.
Yes, you know? Yes.
And so...
I mean, all of them, I watched all of them. The second one, he fought Creed again.
Right.
The third one was Clobber Lang, Mr. T.
Yeah.
Then the fourth one was the Russian, you know?
Right.
And after that, I think the fifth one was when he went broke and he moved back into Philly. And he became like a manager, a trainer for Tommy Morrison, who since passed away, the real-life boxer.
Yeah.
Tommy Gunn.
Yep.
And he had a black guy acting like Don King. Only in America. So, I mean, then they had another one. I think six was when he fought...
Tarver,
the boxer.
Yeah,
so,
who actually knocked him out.
Accidentally hit
Stallone and knocked him out.
Oh, during the filming?
Yeah, yeah, oh. I heard about that this week. I was listening to something and they said he knocked him out.
Well, I thought you meant he knocked him out in the movie. They fought to like a toe-to-toe, but Tarver won the fight. And I think that was the last Rocky one. I think that was it. And now they came up with Creed. Apollo's son. So, amazing. How, I mean, hey, I ain't going to knock it. I mean, look at Star Wars and George Lucas. He keeps milking the Star Wars.
The funny thing is you think of Rocky and you think of how corny Sylvester Stallone is. I mean, he's a caricature of him. He's so old, but he's ripped, you know. But he also started he started these franchises like what is it, the other movie where he's the war hero? The old...
Oh, Rambo.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
How many Rambo movies were made?
Maybe about 4 or 5 Rambos.
And then there was another series of movies that he was in, wasn't there? Was it the...
He does the Expendables.
Expendables, that was it, too. Oh, I'm getting...
The Expendables, I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, so he might be kind of like crazy like Fox, you know, like actually smart.
Absolutely. Like like maybe like Kanye West. we got to get Smokestack going to comment on that one. I mean, what is that guy doing? I was telling somebody, I'm like, maybe he's got some other kind of plan because he's acting weird. Like, he might have some kind of ulterior plan, but we don't know just yet. We don't know.
Maybe Scientology got to him or something. He's living out there in L.A.
How was your Halloween, P-Double?
Well, I was out of town, so I missed it, which I really love Halloween, so I got pictures of my wife. Of course, the kids scored ridiculous amounts of candy, which I've been having to help them eat, which is not good for P-Double. There's enough P-Double to go around right now. So, to be honest with you, I couldn't tell what exactly my daughter was from Halloween. So, she had some kind of custom. But what about you? What did you do for Halloween?
Went out. I think I went out. You don't stay in the house. You know what I mean? You don't, if you especially don't do the candy and everything, you don't want to just keep going to the door or hiding from the door.
Right.
So you just go out. Go out to the bar, watch TV, and then head back. Now, you know what I mean? Now it's so early. Used to be late, but now all the parents bring the kids out early. So like around 4 or 5 o'clock.
Right.
It starts and before it like really, really gets dark. By the time it's dark, you see these older kids coming knocking.
Right.
Like you ain't even dressed up. What the hell?
What are you supposed to be, right?
Yeah, what are you doing? You ain't getting no candy. You ain't trick or treating. You know what I mean? They were like, you better give it to me or I'll just rob some from one of the kids.
Yep. Yep, these damn kids. You know what's wrong with them? Like,
what are you doing?
What are they, millennials or something? Halloween was always one of my favorite, you know, it's not really a holiday because you don't get the day off work or anything like that.
No, absolutely.
But I love Halloween parties. When you go out, and like all the girls are dressed up, and this is their opportunity, you know, to take it to another level, you know.
Oh my goodness! Shout out to the webmaster for the Stack when that show Facebook thing. He picked some good ones. It was some girl in there dressed up as Mrs. Incredible from the Incredibles movie. And it was like, whoa!
She had that little waist.
Yeah, wowzers. I was like, man, oh, man.
Yeah, that webmaster's finding some gold mines.
Dude, shout out to the Stack. Folks, if you're on Facebook, get over to Stack Winnett Show page on Facebook. Whoa, man. Some beauts. Some beauts. I know one EF coach that loves it. Two of them, actually. We got Norris McCraw from the Philadelphia area in the NFL, and we got Big Cedric Rogers from New Orleans, from Louisiana. Wow. Yeah, they love it. They're always commenting. And my boy Rasta Hayes, Mr. Cleon Tate, out in San Diego. So, I mean, we got some fans on that page as well, okay? Unbelievable. Great page, to say the least. I'll drink to that one.
Toast. Cheers.
Toast. Cheers. So, this is the Mr. National Podcast. I think, P-Double, we might be winding down. I mean, we had a
about 30
seconds.
What's that?
I think that's
it. Come again?
So we go. I said we got a full show. We're going to wrap the Mr. National. You say this is show 17.
Show 17. We're just getting warmed up. Next week we're going to come back with some stuff that'll dazzle you.
Yeah, we're going to get some. We ain't going to tell you what we got. It's just going to happen. Just, you know, keep your chin strap on,
right,
and stay buckled up. Keep your seatbelt on.
Right.
You know what I mean? You get your favorite drink when you listen. You know what I mean? I want you, if you listen and you go over to the StackWithNatShow.com, you can leave a comment for each episode. We want to know, me and P-Double, when do you get a chance to listen to it? Like, is it in the morning? Is it you're driving to work? Is it dinner time? I would be interested to know, okay? Before I go, I was at the Sixers game with the Skull Shaver guys, and they said, man, we were listening to your podcast. It was pretty cool. I said, which one did you listen to? They said, the one about marijuana.
Nice.
Nice.
That's what's great about it. You can go back to the whole catalog and listen to everything if you want.
Yeah.
You know, you can see how bad we were at the beginning.
Exactly. maybe one day, Peter, we'll go through and we'll make like a, maybe we can do like a YouTube thing. We'll get the best.
The highlights, the greatest.
Yeah, the highlights. And we'll just have little excerpts of stuff that we said. Something P-Double start cracking up. It's always good when you get P-Double just bent over laughing, you know what I mean? He goes quiet for a while. He's just laughing, slapping his knee. So those are the best. Those are the ones that does it for me. Those are the best ones. When I can make P-Double laugh, I know I did a good one then.
Because I'm a very serious guy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, leave comments if you can. And, like I say, share the page, share the website. So folks, this is, Mr. National signing out for my man P-Double. P-Double, we are out. Peace.
Peace.